a series tonight for 4 weeks, I believe it is, and until y'all get tired of listening to me, so it'll probably end tonight. Y'all need to loosen up tonight, I can tell that already. I wish I knew jokes. I don't know jokes. I just live a funny life. You don't need a joke if you live a funny life. I find humor in everything. I mean, I could find humor at a funeral. It's just in my nature. Anyway, Matthew chapter 11. Hopefully, y'all loosen up here a little bit. Kind of like first time you sit in the saddle, may not fit just right. And the longer you sit in it, more better it fits, right? And I'm gonna do some plowing here in a little bit. So y'all hang on. Matthew chapter 11. And we'll get there in just a moment, but we're starting a series on a healthy heart. And I'm not talking about diet and nutrition, because that's ungodly. I'm just kidding. I'm just seeing if y'all listening. I'm telling you, that's a rough crowd tonight. But we're dealing with the root instead of the fruit. And see, I think in America today, we look at all the problems going on, whether you kneel, whether you stand, whether you're with this, whether you're with that, whether you're that and that. By the way, that's a heart problem. It all begins with the very root of the problem. We can deal with the fruits, literally, and the fruit, but that's not what's the problem with our world today. That's the result of an inward heart that is not healthy. That number one, I believe you got to have a saved heart, right? You got to have a new heart. Jesus tells in the Bible tells in the book of Ezekiel that He's willing to give you a new heart, to give you a new you, who you are, the inner being of yourself. And I believe we look at sometimes, and this conversation came up even this week, is that, you know, somebody came to me and said, you know, this and this is happening. And I said, well, the problem with that matter is it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. You can't take people, and me and Brother Brandon back there, Tolentino, we coach the junior high football team. And we tell the boys, we can teach you all the techniques, we can teach you the plays, but if you don't have heart for this game, you will not win this game. And we always tell, Coach Brandon tells them all the time, that it's your heart. If you don't have a heart to play this game, if you don't have a heart to play in this game, guess what? This game's going to go, right? And by the way, it's the same thing in life. If our heart, and we're not talking about the four-chambered heart that you have sitting here that's the size of your fist that's beating every second of your life. We're talking about who and what you are. When Jesus mentions the heart, matter of fact, this is what it says, if you look it up, it's the center seat of spiritual life. It is the very central seat of the spiritual life. It's the soul, the mind, it's the fountain in which the seat of the thoughts that flow and the desires and the passions and the appetites and the affections, the purposes and the moral compass come from is from the heart. It's the will, it's the character of who you are. It's the faculty of who you are, all what you're made up of. The soul, as it is affected and stirred, whether good or bad. By the way, the heart is very, very important in the Scripture. And you really begin to start looking at the heart. Matter of fact, I never realized this until a couple of weeks ago. I'd been studying on the heart, and I've done that in the past, and I come back to it. And I begin to study the heart through the Proverbs. Can I just encourage you, if you need a good devotional, study the heart in the Proverbs. It is amazing what the Proverbs say about the heart. Now, that's the book of wisdom. Now, just think about that for a minute. The book of wisdom mentions the heart more than it mentions the mind. You know why? Because wisdom's not of the mind. That's knowledge. Wisdom is of the heart. And that's what Solomon deals with, is the heart. And then I started studying the Gospels, and I got on this study of studying the Gospels and just trying to look at correlations of the Gospels and all these things. And I began to see one central theme through Jesus' teaching, and it was the heart. You realize that the disciples had the knowledge to follow Him, but at times did not have the heart to follow Him. And that's why, by the way, knowledge can only take you so far, and you need knowledge, but you need the heart to apply that knowledge. And can I say that our kids in school, or whether we're at the job, or whether we're in church, if we don't put our heart to it, it will not be done right. And so tonight, I want to begin to challenge you about a healthy heart, and I'm talking spiritually speaking, that all of us here tonight would examine our heart and look in our heart and see where we're at. Because I'm telling you what, I don't like studying this because it reveals to me Michael Wiggins' heart. And I get mad at myself of the things that produce out of my life, and we're going to look at that later on, because out of the heart the man speaketh. So the product is, and God looks upon the heart, man looks upon the outward. That's what it was said in Samuel, that God looks upon this heart. And by the way, I think tonight that all of us have, if you're here on Wednesday night, you have a heart that you want to try to do right, don't you? I mean, that's why we're here tonight. That's why we're here on Wednesday night. But I believe this, is that our heart, just as our body can be healthier, our heart can be healthier. And I'll show you some things through the next few weeks about this. But go to Matthew chapter 11. This verse, we all know this verse. I've read this verse 100 times, and I read it a couple months ago. And matter of fact, somebody was preaching on this verse, and the light bulb went on in my head. Now, there's not many light bulbs left in my head. They've all burnt out. I still have the old incandescent bulbs in there. I'm so old up in there. But when I read this verse, it really stuck out because Jesus told us the secret to life in these verses. Now read with me, if you will, in verse 28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And verse 29, here it is. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." And we read that verse and we get that. We take his yoke upon us and he says, "Give me your yoke and I'll give you my yoke. My yoke is easy." We'll look at that. But notice the next phrase. He says, "Learn of me." Simple phrase, right? Learn of me. That means to know me, study me. But here's what he said to learn. He said, "For I am meek and lowly," where? In heart. Jesus said, who and what I am are two things. Meek and lowly. Jesus said, that is who I am. I'm meek and I'm lowly. And then I got excited. And I know none of you are excited as I was. So I began to study the life of Christ. And if you're in my Sunday school class, we're studying the life of Christ through the book of John. And I began to look at the life of Christ, and two things keep coming up. Humility and gentleness, which is what meekness and lowliness means. That is who he was. And we're going to go through those here in just a moment. But I'm telling you, when Jesus was on the cross and he looked out at the crowd and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was displaying the gentleness and the very meekness of who he was. And the humility of who he was. People crucifying me, my saying's going to be a little different than his. You know why? Because my heart's not where it should be. My thundering words would be, "Lord, please strike all these people around me dead." Right? But let's look at the scripture. He said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." And he says, "And when you learn this, ye shall have find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light." After I pray, I'll speak on this part. A healthy heart displayed. Tonight will be a healthy heart displayed. Father, we love you. Thank you for the example we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, of the heart we should all have. And God, I pray that through this series, Lord, that first of all, God, you deal with me. God, I certainly draw that circle around me tonight. And Lord, I ask you to get in it with me. And Lord, work in my heart and my life. And God, correct things that are wrong. And God, I believe all those that are here tonight, God, would have the same prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just bless your people tonight through your word, through the Holy Spirit, having liberty here. I pray that you'd help us, God, to see that we need a healthy spiritual heart. We love you, Lord. We ask you to bless in Christ's precious name. Amen. So I want to give you some of these examples. I just dug through the scriptures and I found examples of Christ's meekness and Christ's humility, his lowliness. By the way, the word lowliness doesn't mean that he walked around like this. It simply means that he was humble. And we'll see those scriptures. You can write these down, or you can call me later and I'll give them to you. But Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." There you go, the first thing. He made himself of no reputation. You know what we like to do? We like to have that reputation, don't we? You know, we like to put ourselves up there. But Jesus said, no, the first shall be what? Last, right? And he was living that out. No reputation. He said, took upon him the form of a what? Say it, class. Servant. Yeah. He took upon him a form of a servant. A servant is one described in the scripture, not as a slave, but as one who is humble. One who is willing to serve a greater power. And Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. But he also said, I came to do the will of the Father. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus said that he took upon him no reputation. He took upon him the form of the servant. And he said he was made in the likeness of men. Now get that. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Savior, was born in a manger, humbled himself to be born. And we're getting close to that time of year where Jesus was put in there where the cattle were and where all the farm animals were. And he was willing to be born in a trough of hay. And he was willing to be wrapped in that swaddling clothes in which they wrapped the animals in to keep them from hurting themselves. And he put upon him the form of a servant. Can I just say something that hit me just right now? You realize for the first, maybe, I don't know when kids start talking. Anybody know? One? I don't know. I don't keep up with that. For a year of Jesus' life, he didn't speak. You ever thought about that? I think it just hit me right then. Hope it just, everybody's going, well, I knew that. Well, of course y'all did. I'm just, you ever thought about Jesus, for the first words, didn't say, thou shalt not kill. His first words were probably, mama. I'm not degrading him. I'm just saying he was willing to make himself in the form of man, not a 30-year-old man. But he came as a baby. And he was placed in a manger. And for the first part of his life, he was dependent upon his parents. What does he want? Like, by the way, they had to change his diaper or whatever they wore back then. Change out his straw. I don't know. But I'm telling you what, we're talking about the King of Glory was willing to go through that. And please don't get me wrong. I am not degrading our Savior. I'm lifting him up. Because he was willing to do that for me and you. I'm telling you, that just dawned on me right then. I'm going to think about that just for a minute. I'm sorry, I had a time right there. That for the first year of Jesus' life, he had to take in all that was around him and not say a word. For the next year, he probably didn't communicate really well. Everybody know what I mean? But we know at the age of 12, he was communicating pretty good. When he went into the temple and they said, wow, who is this kid, right? All right, I'm going on. Sorry, I had a moment there. Made in the likeness of man, here it is. And being found in the fashion of man, notice this. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Pastor says this all the time. They did not have to strap him down and chain him down to the cross. He became obedient to that death for you. Folks, I'm telling you what, we serve a mighty Savior, don't we? We see His meekness and we see His lowliness. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Isn't that amazing that Jesus, who owned everything, was willing to come to earth and have nothing? The Bible says He didn't even have a place to lay His head at night. He came to His own and His own received Him not. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the King of Kings, came down here and came to the Jews and said, I'm here. And they said, we don't want you. But He still loved them. Wow. John 13:5 says, after that He... this one here gets me. You know the Scripture. John 13:5 says, after that He poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith He was girded. In other words, He had a towel around Him and He used it. Now listen, He washed the disciples' feet. Can I tell you that they wore sandals every day of their life? And the land in which they lived in was very dusty and dry. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was willing to humble Himself and take those sandals off and to take that water from the basin and pour it upon the disciples' feet and to take the towel which was His. He wouldn't have been girded about with something He didn't own Amen. He took what he had and he wiped their feet. I wouldn't wash your feet even because you're wearing tennis shoes. But can I tell you, he washed Judas's feet too. The man whom he knew would betray him. Isn't that amazing? We see the example of a heart. We see the heart displayed through Christ. And here again, Matthew 27, 12 through 14 says, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders," here it is, "he answered not." He was silent as the sheep before her shears, Isaiah 53 tells us. He came before for them and he was silent even though he was being falsely accused. Jesus was showing us that he was lowly and that he was meek. He could have took this one finger right here and took Pilate and put him on the moon. But he didn't. Let me give you the last couple here. Luke 23:34 says, and I've already said this, when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. 1 Peter 2:23 says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again when he suffered. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That's what Jesus did for you. See, Jesus is telling us, learn of me. I am meek and lowly, where? In heart. He says that my characteristic is, and who I am, is going to be meek and lowly. And you'll be able to follow that all through his life, even when he's on the cross. Listen, who me and you are on a good day is not really who we are. Right? If you got your paycheck and your bills are paid and the kids are acting right, the car's running right, and the air is just right, that rhymes. We're like, woohoo. But when the car's broke down, the paycheck's not there, the health is not there, the kids are driving you crazy. Some of y'all don't have kids. You don't know what I'm talking about. Just wait. I will loan you Brody. No, he's a good kid now. We didn't get through those stages. But here it is. That's when we find out who we really are. When you're standing at the hospital bed and you don't have answers, then that's who you are. When you're getting that phone call, that's when you figure out who you are and how healthy your heart is. Most of y'all know I just went through this thing with my heart, and they finally just figured out I had a broken heart or a bad heart. I don't know what I had. And they went in there and did a catheter, and I still have this scar on my wrist right there. Doctor stuck the Roto-Rooter up in there. And he went up in there and he got up in there and he said, "You know what? Your heart looks amazing." I said, "Well, why am I having chest pain? Why am I shortness of breath?" And he jabbed in there and all of a sudden my heart started to hurt. He said, "Did you feel that?" Yeah. "Could you give me more of that good stuff y'all got in the other arm?" He said, jabbed it again. He said, "You felt that?" "Yes, sir, I felt that again." He was making my heart skip beats or have an extra beat. Not skip a beat, but have an extra beat. And I was feeling that. And I was thinking, man, that's amazing. Do it again. After, you know, having fun. After a while, I'm paying $1,000 for every second of this, so might as well enjoy it. I'm going to get everything I can out of there. I wore the socks, the gowns, everything. I tore the curtains off the thing. I took them with me. You're going to pay $30,000 for it. You know, you take everything you got with you. You want to come to my house? I got hospital pillows. I've got, if you need a cup to drink out of, I got that. They come in there and they say, "Sir, did they ever get you one?" "Nope, I ain't seen one. I got a bag over there. It looks like Santa Claus." "Take it with you. You're paying the money. Take it." "They going to charge you $20 for one Tylenol pill?" "Take it." You say, "That's stealing." "I'm paying for everything in there. I took the nurse home with me too. I made him stay at my bedside and wash my feet. I paid for him." No, I'm just kidding. But the thing is that it was amazing that I could see the screen and I could see all the vessels of my heart. And I could see how my heart was reacting. And one thing that I loved the doctor when he said, "Mr. Wiggins, you have a very healthy heart." He said, I cannot find anything wrong with your heart. I said, hallelujah. Isn't that good to hear? When you've been having chest pains for months and shortness of breath and almost passing out and seeing the little hand of Jesus come down, or, you know, the hand of Jesus come down and fixing to take you home. And I said, no, swing down, sweet chariot, not today. I thought really I was at that point in my life. And I joke about it now, but I mean, I really was. I thought, man, this is it. I'm fixing to go out with a heart attack. But, man, when the sweetest words were when that doctor came and said, Mr. Wiggins, you got a healthy heart. He said, here's what I think we can fix, or you know what we can do to... And I was like, hallelujah. The other day I was at the hospital with John. He asked me, he said, did you go to your follow-up? Well, no, he already told me I had a healthy heart. Why do I have to go back and pay him another $30,000 for him to tell me you're fine again? Right? I like it when I get a good, clean bill of health, don't you? Don't you like to go to the doctor? Don't you hate when you go there, though? And they say, well, I think this is wrong way, but I don't know how to fix it. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? See, Jesus knows how to fix a heart. Jesus knows how to give us an example of a heart. And at the end of our day, when this life is over, when we get to heaven, I want my heart to be in the ministry. I want my heart to be in my marriage and in parenting and in serving you and serving the Lord. And I want my heart to be healthy, spiritually speaking. Let me give you three things tonight. I know you are surprised. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you a picture of Jesus to those around you and to those who are lost? Is your heart a picture of what Jesus was? He was meek and lowly. You say, how can I have a heart like Jesus? Well, he tells us. I'll give you three things. Number one, by learning of him. Notice what he said. He said, learn of me. He said, I am meek and lowly. Notice that. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus told us what to do. He said, if you want a heart like mine, if you want a life like mine, then you learn of me. That's what we have to do. We have to learn of Jesus Christ. Go over to Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4. Hurry. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to notice this because he said, learn of me. Learn of me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Because this is the opposite of those who have not learned Jesus. And he gives us what they do. And so sometimes knowing what to do is learning what not to do. Is that correct? That's kind of how we parent sometimes, right? Sometimes it's not so much of telling our kids what to do, but you can't do this. And by not doing this, you do this, right? Notice what he says. I'm going to try to hurry through these, but he's talking here, and he goes through there. He says that vanity of their minds, that they walked as the Gentiles walked. And he says, verse 19, who being past, filling, having given themselves to lasciviousness, to work of uncleanness with greediness. But notice this. He said, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. And he said, here it is. He says, if you have heard of him, if you've been taught by him, as truth in Jesus, then that you put off concerning the former conversations, the old man, the corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in your spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is after God and created in righteousness. He says, wherefore, putting away lying and speaking every truth of his neighbor with members one of another, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, rather let him labor. He goes on through here and you read these things, and he gives in verse 31, he gives what happens when we let it go and when we let our heart begin to get sick and to begin to get sicker. He gives us what the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the clamor and the evil speaking. He said, put it away. Why? Because if you learn Christ, your heart is healthier than it'll ever be in your life. You see, we must learn Christ. You say, how do we learn Christ? We learn it through the Word of God. We learn him right here. This is his book he wrote for you, right? You know, if you want to learn something about a family member that's passed on, you ask somebody who knows, who knew him. Or you, we were at the Minnicks yesterday, I believe it was, and Brother Minnick's writing a book about the Minnick family. I got to read the first page, and I'm not going to tell you, Miss Christie, what it says. But I'll take $5. You probably read it. But I started reading it, and it's like, you know, in 1940 this happened and all this. I really got into it, and he's like, that's all you can read. I was like, oh, because I want to know more about Miss Betty. I want to know more about Brother Minnick. And through that memoir, that writing, that he's up to 12 pages. And he's like, my hands get tired. And I'm like, I can't wait to read this. I was trying to encourage him, finish this up, because I'm excited about reading it. Because I'd love at the end of the day to know more about them, because they've already affected me by who they are. And I can't imagine how much it would affect me to read more about them. Jesus gave you everything you need to know about Him right here in His book. We got to learn of Him. Number two, not only by not to have a heart like Jesus is by learning of Him, but also by living like Him. Verse 29 tells us, He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." He says, if you want to live like me, you must live in gentleness and humility. You see, what causes problems in our lives and in our marriages and in churches and in business or in wherever you're at is always pride. You know the opposite of pride? It's humility. You know what Jesus said He hated more than everything? Brother Elijah just preached on this. Pride. Jesus said, "I'd rather you be abased or be humble. I'd rather you be down here." You know why? Because He can use us here. He can speak to us here, but He can't here. Because when you're up here, you already got it figured out on your own. And by the way, it's hard to fall when you're already down here. It's easy to fall when you're up here. A lot of preachers do that. They get very prideful. We've seen them down through the years. Look at my ministry. Look at the campus I built. We got 6,000 people in this church now, and I did it all. They love to hear me preach. And then what happens to that preacher? Truth comes out about him. How many preachers you've seen the headlines? Preacher runs off with this woman. Preacher was caught doing this. Preacher was this. You know why? Because he was up here. Some of the greatest preachers I've ever met are the humble ones. I love to go to these churches and I'm like, wow, this is a great ministry. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. The Lord did all this. I love to go to Sunday school classes that are growing and people say, wow, you must be a great teacher. No, God's just good. He's doing this. I love to go to missionary fields and see what God's doing on the mission field and to hear Brother Harold Pryde say, I've not done anything. It's all the Lord. He said, if you ever want to meet a humble man, it's Brother Harold Pryde. One of the humblest men that I've ever seen. He's got ministries everywhere. He's got people everywhere. He's got preachers everywhere because of the ministry there, but he gives God the glory for it. We want to live like him. We must live in gentleness and in humility. Number three, and I'm done. Not only do we have a heart like Jesus, his heart is displayed through here. So we have a heart like Jesus by learning of him, by living like him, but also by loving him. Listen, folks, you're never going to be like someone until you love that person. You see, I love him because he first loved me. The scripture even tells us that. I love him. You say, well, where do you find it? You ever thought about this scripture? In verses 28 and verse 29 and verse 30, Jesus is telling you how much he loves you by saying, come unto me. By the way, he doesn't have to let us come unto him. He could save us and give us a home in heaven and never have nothing else to do with us, but he loves you so much that he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and that are heavy laden. In other words, those that are out there doing the work and those who are getting tired and those who are carrying the burdens, he says, come unto me. He says, I will give you my yoke and I'll take yours. Wow. You say, why should I love him? Because he loves you. He's willing to take all of those problems and trials and tribulations you're going through, and he's willing to give you a yoke that's easy. He may not take you out of that storm. He may not take you out of that temptation, but I promise you he will be there with you, saying that he is there and that he's willing to give you rest. He loves you tonight. He loves me tonight. Aren't you glad Jesus loves us? Song we learned as a kid, Jesus loves us, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Such a simple song, but such a deep song. Because he does love us. By the way, God doesn't quit loving us. He just keeps loving us. Despite of who we are, despite of what we do, He keeps loving us. We want to have a heart like Jesus, we must love Him. You see, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, that David's priority in life was pleasing God. But you know why that was? Because David loved the Lord. David loved the Lord. You ever wonder why Paul was ever a great missionary? He was a murderer. He was a persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ. And he got saved on the Damascus Road, and God began to use him. You ever wonder why Paul could say, you know what, I was just beaten 49 times, but I'm not cast down, not despised, I've not been rejected, because he loved the Lord. Because he had the right heart, because he loved him. You see, you want to be his disciple, you got to love him more than you. Matter of fact, he told us, he said, your love for me should be so strong that it ought to be as that if you hate your brother and your sister and your mom and your daddy compared to the love that you have for me. See, our problem is I begin to love stuff more than I love the Savior. I begin to love other things instead of loving Him the most. And when I do that, when I begin to love other things, guess what the root of the problem is? Right there. But I'm telling you, when I love Him right, this heart is right. There's a song, I thought it was in our hymn book, but it's not, unless I looked at it wrong. It's just a song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? Is thy heart right with God? And I read the words today, and I was thinking, is my heart right? Is your heart right tonight? Do you have a healthy heart? I was reading this, Warren Wiersbe was talking about the heart. And he said, you either have a healthy heart, a sick heart, or a heart on life support. Isn't that true? It's either healthy, it's sick, or it's on life support. That means it's about to go. God's about done. Listen, if you have a sick heart, you know a great physician? I do. His name is Jesus. And he's willing to fix problems. Dr. Barber says this, that he's never had a malpractice suit filed against him for fixing a heart. Because he knows the right prescription and he knows the right procedure that you need. It's all right here. Learn of me. He said, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. How's your heart tonight? Is thy heart right with God? Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Linda, just come and play something on the piano tonight. We will not sing tonight, but I just want you to heads bowed, eyes closed just for a moment. I don't usually do this, but I want to ask you tonight. I know Michael Wiggins greater than I know anybody in this auditorium. And I can tell you one thing Michael Wiggins needs. Michael Wiggins needs a healthier heart. If you're serious tonight and you say, Lord, I want a healthier heart, spiritually speaking, I want you to, right there at your pew or come down to this altar tonight as those are stepping out. Miss Linda begins to play. Why don't you come tonight and just say, Lord. By the way, none of us have the perfect heart. We all need help with our heart, whether it's our motives, through our heart, or whether it's whatever it may be, I don't know. But I know me tonight, and I want God to do a work in my heart. If we want Heritage Baptist Church to grow spiritually, it's going to be started at our heart. The heart is the root of the problem tonight. If you need to come tonight, there's many down here at the altar. Won't you come? We're not going to sing tonight. I want us to think about our hearts tonight. Is thy heart right with God? I surrender all. So let the Lord have your heart tonight. Do you love Him? The Lord told us that we're to love Him with all of our heart, all of our might, with all of our soul.